twist up, yes. Just please relax. Enjoy your present. So, dear friends, so today is our first week of the year 2008 and 2009, and to be together, first Tuesday night of 2008, and today is January the 5th,
the 6th,
and we have been missing Gretchen for a while, and she's been waiting for me, and then now I have waited for her to do her presentation so that we can wrap up with our the Eightfold Path of studying. So today we'd like to welcome Gretchen back, and then do her presentations, so please.
Okay. Well, it's really nice to be back. I've missed all of you. And,
we don't miss you, but we're waiting.
Oh, great.
Sorry.
Oh, well.
We miss you in that way.
Yeah, yeah. It's everything I say about the support of the Sangha is absolutely true. So it's nice to be back. So right mindfulness. A year and a half ago at Deer Park Monastery, Sister Chan Kong was leading singing, and she reminded us that when we sing songs, it's not just about the practice, but just the act of singing is a practice in the words that we say. So I thought we'd start with a song. And I think probably everybody knows the songs, but here it is. And we could start with present moment, or in, out.
Which one?
Present moment.
In, out, deep, slow, calmly smile, release, present moment.
Is the energy that brings us back to the present moment. And to cultivate mindfulness within ourselves is to cultivate the Buddha within. we're always giving our attention to something. And if it's appropriate, it brings us back to the present moment. And if the attention is inappropriate, it takes us away from the here and the now. So the practice is to find ways to maintain appropriate attention throughout the day. And since I've been thinking about right mindfulness for so long, it's kind of become a friend that I can carry along with me. And I'm not to the point where I have right mindfulness all day long, but that friend is there when I stumble and I need to bring it out. And when there is right mindfulness, there's also the Four Noble Truths and the other seven aspects of the Eightfold Path. So it's all woven up together. And when I was reading this, I think it was Thich Nhat Hanh, I had a vision of one of these braids that uses more than three threads. It can have many threads, and so they're all braided together, woven together, and inseparable, really. Now, the Sanskrit word for mindfulness, and please help me pronounce it, is
Smriti.
Smriti. And it means remember. The Chinese character for mindfulness, do you write Chinese characters, Walsh?
No. I just only Vietnamese.
Well, then you can all please forgive me. So the upper part of the character means now.
Lisa.
And the lower part means mind or heart. Now, Lama Surya Das in Awakening the Buddha Within, he tells the story of an elderly grandmother who observed the radiant faces of the Buddha and his disciples. And she was very touched, and she wanted to learn to meditate. But she went to the Buddha, and she told him that she was old and infirm and ill and illiterate and busy with family matters, and she wasn't able to join him. And she didn't think that she'd be able to learn. And this is what the Buddha said to her. Respected grandmother, every time you draw water from the well, remain aware of every single act, movement, and motion of your hands. As you are carrying home the water jug atop your head, be aware of every step of your feet. As you do your chores, maintain continuous mindfulness and awareness every single instant, moment after moment, and you too will become master of meditation. So I like this story a lot. For one thing, it's about an old lady. And for another thing, it tells me that right mindfulness is available to everybody. We just need to apply ourselves.
It's very important for the old, for the aging people, because when you walk and then if you don't very mindful, then you flip easy.
Yeah.
So I think the more we aging, the more we have to be mindful of our, later I will talk about, you know, the body, the act of our body.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So it's, if you practice mindfulness, it's really help when we are ill or when we are aging.
And aside, my sister is ill with Parkinson's, and it's made her very slow. And before we knew that she had Parkinson's, she had come for a visit, and it was after a Thich Nhat Hanh retreat. She was sweeping the floor, and she was sweeping very slowly, and I thought, oh my goodness, she really has mindfulness. So I think she does have mindfulness, but I was so impressed. It wasn't until a few years later I realized. Okay, so in Pali, the sutra for the four establishments of mindfulness is called Satipatthana Sutta. And the translation that Thich Nhat Hanh gives is, I like it. Sati in Pali means mindfulness. And Upathana, which has this, means place of abiding or establishment. And application. So Thich Nhat Hanh says this means to take care of the disarray or the clutter in our house and clean up and sweep out. So those are interesting approaches to the title. Okay, so in the sutra of the four establishments of mindfulness, the establishments are introduced, and then exercises and meditation are given to help us develop mindfulness. And the first establishment of mindfulness is mindfulness of the body. In the body. And the way the sutra goes, we actually read it while you were in India. We read one of the discourses. And it talks about a monk or practitioner says he goes to the forest. This is mindfulness of the body in the body, and it starts with breathing. Okay, he goes to the forest, to the foot of a tree, or to an empty room, sits down cross-legged in a lotus position, holds his body straight, and establishes mindfulness in front of him. He breathes in, aware that he is breathing in. He breathes out, aware that he is breathing out. So that's where all that comes from. And then there are more exercises for following the breath or being aware of the body. Positions of the body, actions of the body, the four elements, the earth, air, fire, and water present in the body, and decomposition of the body, observing a corpse and realizing that life is not stable, it's always changing. So the result brings the body and mind in harmony. We can see the process of birth and death and non-self and the interdependent nature of our body. That's the meaning of mindful observation. And so when I was reading and writing, I realized that I often ignore my body, especially when I'm tired or I hurt. And I just push it aside, or I think, oh, if I get something to eat, or if I turn the TV on, I'll feel better.
So you're running away.
Yep. Running away. It doesn't work, but I do it over and over again.
That's the habit.
Over and over again. So now what this has gotten me to do is to try to welcome
to our presentation.
Try to sit down and rest. Amazing. Or lay down and rest. And that does work. So I thought, I need to be friends with my body. I'm not sure why I keep pushing it away. And oftentimes, if I'm in the bathroom and I go out, if I'm going somewhere, so I use the bathroom, I leave, and I realize I didn't look to see if I was neat and clean. And I'm not sure what all that is, you know? Okay, so maybe I'll, with more mindfulness and sitting with it, and I can learn to understand it then. The second mindfulness is feelings. Mindfulness of feelings in the feelings. And as Thay has discussed with us before, there's a river of feelings that just keeps sweeping past us. Some are pleasant and some are painful and some are neutral. And if we can sit down and establish mindfulness in front of us and observe these feelings, it gives us insight into what's going on, and we can transform the negative aspects. On the Thanksgiving day when we came up to the monastery, Chris was here, and he's a Sangha brother from a long time ago, and I hadn't seen him in over a year, and I was so excited to see him. And then Thay gave his talk, his Dharma talk, and he reminded us to observe Thanksgiving with stillness. And so I brought myself back into stillness, and what happened was I had been really enjoying seeing Chris there, and that was fine. Then when I came into stillness, I enjoyed him at a way deeper level. You know, it wasn't giving up something, it was there was more depth to it. It was very profound and lovely. So, that's feelings. And this book, the sutra, gives exercises for developing observations of the feelings. The third establishment of mindfulness is of the mind in the mind. And Thay has discussed with us before the states of mind: desire, food, sleep, wealth, fame, sex, hatred, confusion, concentration. And when I first started to prepare this report, I was so scared. It's been a long time since I taught, over 15 years, and I am not used to putting thoughts or concepts or feelings into words. So my mind was full of confusion and anxiety and all the rest. And it wasn't until I had sat with it enough to calm down my mind that I could start to understand what was written before me. It took several days, several weeks actually. So then I could concentrate. So I had to sit and let mindfulness shine on the confusion that I was feeling, and gradually it dissipated and I was able to concentrate. Then there is mindfulness of objects of mind. And this includes the sense organs and their objects. You know, when we sing And the five aggregates, forms, form, feelings, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness. We tend to see things, objects of mind, as real and independent. And if we take the time to look deeply, then we can see how things are interdependent and empty of a separate existence. So when we sit and observe the objects of mind, it's like drinking your tea and seeing that the tea isn't just tea, it's the sunshine and the rain and the people who have worked to take care of the plants and the people who prepared the tea. We're all empty of a separate existence. And the sutra gives us meditation exercises for dealing with anger and developing love and dealing with the internal formations, the negative knots that we develop in ourselves. And it deals with remorse and regret and joy. This Christmas, I was in Durango with our son, with my husband, and our niece, who I hadn't seen I'd seen her, but not spent time with her for many years. She's a medical student in her 40s, and she has a daughter and a husband. And they were all there, and it snowed a lot. And we were snowed in. So here's this family, and we're all snowed in, and we had fun in the snow, and then we'd come back in and discuss things, and you know how families are. Pretty soon, things were getting a little edgy. and I'm thinking, that's not right. I don't agree with that. and I thought, okay, there's mindfulness. And if I took time to breathe and sit quietly, I could see that I didn't need to hang on to my ideas of what's right and wrong. And I learned to listen a little more, I think, too. So, yeah. Mindfulness. Thich Nhat Hanh writes, when sunlight shines, it helps all vegetation grow. When mindfulness shines, it transforms all mental formations. I like that. For years I wondered, what does he mean by in? Body in the body, feeling in the feeling, mind in the mind, and objects of mind in objects of mind. And I remember we had a big discussion in Seeds about that. Nobody could really resolve it. We took over a year to read, to read these books. And then when I was reading about this, I came on this paragraph that Thich Nhat Hanh wrote. That when we are fully aware of and observing deeply an object, the boundary between subject and object gradually dissolves. This is the essence of meditation. Only when we penetrate an object and become one with it can we understand. It is not enough to stand outside and observe an object. That is why the sutra reminds us to be aware of the body in the body, the feelings in the feelings, the mind in the mind, objects of mind in the objects of mind. And that's not easy to do. I've been playing with that. It's really profound not to be sitting there shining the light of mindfulness on something that's out here, but something that's in here. I'm not sure I can do it at all. Well, I used to in a different life. Lama Surya Das puts it another way. I think he's talking about the same thing. One should be aware, objectively and precisely, without reflecting upon it with discursive thought. So he's saying, I think he's saying, you don't have to use words and separate yourself from this object, but you can be aware and mindful without using words. Does that make sense?
Does that make sense for everybody?
Okay, he says, one should be aware, objectively and precisely, without reflecting upon it with discursive thought.
With discursive thought?
Discursive thought. Thought that uses words to describe.
Mm.
So.
But being objective about something is kind of, to me, it's kind of like this pencil is separate from myself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it, to be mindful, isn't it this pencil is me? And isn't that more where you're trying to get with mindfulness? Or
so you see there's two separate so you say that the pencil and you are interdependent, correct?
With that statement from Das, where Thich Nhat Hanh would not want you to make
A separation.
Mm-hmm.
And what you say that Gretchen would say that there's two separate things.
I guess I'm just interpreting that differently than.
Yeah, I think what he's saying is be aware of it and internalize your awareness, and you don't have to use thoughts to describe it. This awareness.
Just knowing.
Yeah, knowing.
Just knowing. So you don't have to put like your judgmental, you know,
there.
Into that. So you knowing, but the knowing like bare knowing, you know,
yeah.
Without put any words or label into it. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be separation until maybe you call
yeah.
it pencil. But if you just
yeah.
If you're just with it.
Mm. So once you put the label on it, then there is some separation.
Okay, so those are the four establishments of mindfulness. Then in this book, The Heart of the Buddha's Teaching, under Right Mindfulness, are the seven miracles of mindfulness. And I don't know if they come from the Buddha or if they come from Thich Nhat Hanh.
The insights might be the same, but the words might be different.
Okay. Yeah. But I really love them, and to me, it's putting into words that are immediate the payoff for mindfulness. Okay, if you need an incentive, and the first miracle of mindfulness is to be present and able to touch deeply the present moment, the blue sky, the flower, the smile of your child. This is straight out of this book. And I have three children in my life. They're like grandchildren. They're not blood relatives, but they're very special. And the two 11-year-olds are twins. And I had the girl, Ailish, with me for a day. And then I took her back to town for her dad to pick up. And when she and her brother were saying goodbye to me, they were all excited, bouncing up and down. They were right in my face, okay? I'm not very tall, and they're getting taller. And I had Liam's face in this eye and Ailish's face in this eye, and it was so beautiful to have these twins right there. They were just, there was no separation. That's a real miracle. Okay, and the second miracle of mindfulness is to make the other, the sky, the flower, our child, present also. And I don't know if it was Thay who told us about the Vietnamese epic poem, Tale of Q,
or one of you.
Mm. I think it's a beautiful story. And I'm really impressed that there's a culture that has this as part of their culture, because we sure don't in the Western world. Okay. So Q returns home, and her beloved is sleeping in this poem, epic poem. He awakens and asks, "Are you really there, or am I dreaming?" And Q replies, "Now we have the opportunity to see each other clearly. But if we do not live deeply this moment, it will only be a dream." That's profound. We live in the mountains, and we take this one road every time to get down into Boulder. And I don't know why, but there's a section of road when this story comes to mind. And Harry's usually driving. And I look over at him and I think, it's now or never. You know, pay attention. I like this. The third miracle of mindfulness is to nourish the object of your attention. Give appropriate attention in the present moment, not superficial passing attention. And Thich Nhat Hanh says, with mindfulness, your attention will water and revive the flower. And I think probably everybody's had an experience.